Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah, joined as always by Mike, and today we're diving deep into Kratos Defense and Security Solutions, ticker KTOS, and their second quarter 2026 10Q filing, dated August 4th, 2026. This is a company that sits at the intersection of unmanned systems, hypersonics, and defense electronics, and this quarter's numbers tell a genuinely complex story. Mike, let's get into it.
Thanks, Sarah. Before we unpack the numbers, let me give you the one-sentence thesis for this filing. If we reduce this quarter to a single claim, it's this. Kratos is executing a high-conviction, capital-intensive bet on a generational defense buildup, posting record backlog and strong year-over-year revenue growth, while simultaneously absorbing a sequential revenue collapse and an operating loss that reveals just how much execution risk sits beneath the surface. That's the tension this entire episode is going to explore.
And where does Kratos sit in the cycle right now?
Based on this filing, Kratos is operating in mid-cycle expansion, but with a critical asterisk. The demand environment is genuinely exceptional. The policy tailwinds are real, but the company is in the middle of a massive capacity build-out, and the gap between backlog and recognized revenue is where the risk lives. We'll come back to that thesis at the end and test it against everything we find.
Let's start with the material changes versus last quarter, because the headline numbers are jarring.
They are, and we need to be precise here because context is everything. Quarter over quarter, revenues dropped 39%, from $751.9 million in Q1 2026 to $458.8 million in Q2. Operating income swung from positive $4.7 million to negative $1.6 million, a decline of 134%. Net income fell 63%, from $11.9 million to $4.4 million.
Those are significant sequential moves. What's the causality chain there?
So here's where you have to hold two things in your head simultaneously. That sequential decline looks alarming in isolation, but the filing's MD&A summary makes clear that on a year-over-year basis, Q2 2026 versus Q2 2025, revenues were actually up 30.5%, rising by $107.3 million. And for the first half of fiscal 2026, revenues were up 26.9% year-over-year, reaching $829.8 million. So the sequential drop from Q1 to Q2 appears to reflect the lumpiness inherent in defense contract revenue recognition, not a deterioration in the underlying business. That said, the operating loss is real and it demands explanation.
And what does the filing tell us about why operating income went negative?
The MD&A points to two primary cost pressures. First, SG&A as a percentage of revenue increased to 19% in Q2, up from 17% in the prior year period. Management attributes this to acquisition-related amortization from the Nomad Global Communication Solutions and Orbit Technologies deals, plus higher stock compensation expense. Second, cost of revenues rose $81 million in Q2 alone, driven by higher revenue volume, labor costs, material costs, and the impact of those acquisitions. If that SG&A rate stays elevated at 19%, while gross margins remain in the low 20s, the operating line stays thin or negative. And that changes the investment case from a growth story to a margin recovery story.
Let's move to management commentary, because the tone in this MD&A is worth examining carefully.
The tone is genuinely bifurcated, Sarah, and I think that's the most analytically interesting thing about this filing. On one hand, management is unambiguously bullish on the demand environment. They describe what they call a generational recapitalization of the defense industrial base and weapon systems occurring globally. They reference record backlog of $2.084 billion as of June 28, 2026. Up from $1.414 billion a year earlier. That's a 47% year-over-year increase in backlog. For context, a book-to-bill ratio above 1.0 means orders are outpacing deliveries. Kratos is clearly running well above 1.0 right now.
And on the cautious side?
Management is notably explicit about the risks. They write, and I'm pulling directly from the MD&A here, that budget and deficit funding pressures, CRAs, future federal government debt ceiling issues, and potential federal government shutdowns could have serious negative consequences for the security of our country and the defense industrial base, including the company. That's unusually direct language for a company that's simultaneously describing a record pipeline. They also flag that the Trump administration has executed certain executive orders directly related to significantly changing the current DW procurement policies and procedures and the federal acquisition regulations. And they explicitly state that the potential impact of such changes, if affected either by executive orders or changes to the relevant law, to the industry, and to Kratos, is unknown at this time. That's a company telling you it doesn't know how its operating environment is going to change. That's not boilerplate. That's a genuine disclosure.
They also called out some macro headwinds that aren't purely defense-specific.
Right, and this one caught my attention. Management specifically cited increased demand for certain electronics and SD cards resulting from consumption by AI data centers as a factor creating supply chain disruptions for Kratos. That's a direct competition for components between the defense industrial base and the commercial AI infrastructure build-out. Management says the impact is significant in certain instances. Their response has been advanced purchasing and larger lot buys, which they acknowledge is resulting in an increased use of our working capital, which is expected to continue. That's a cost and cash flow implication we'll come back to.
Let's get into the financial red flags and confirmations, because there are elements on both sides of that ledger.
Starting with the confirmation column, gross margin improved. Q2 gross margin came in at 21.8% versus 21% in the prior year. First half, gross margin was 22.9% versus 22.5%. Those are modest improvements, but they're moving in the right direction, and they're holding up despite the cost pressures management described. For a defense technology company, gross margins in the low to mid 20s are within a reasonable range, though they're below the mid to high 20s that some defense electronics peers achieve.
And the red flags?
The operating loss is the primary one. Negative $1.6 million in operating income on $458.8 million in revenue is an operating margin of essentially zero, negative 0.3%. For context, Kratos' own prior quarter showed positive operating income of $4.7 million, and the year-over-year revenue growth is strong. The issue is that SG&A is growing faster than revenue, driven by acquisition costs and stock compensation. If that pattern persists, SG&A at 19% of revenue while gross margins sit at 22%, you have roughly 3 points of operating margin before you even get to interest and taxes. That's a razor-thin buffer. The causality chain is straightforward. If SG&A doesn't normalize as acquisition amortization rolls off, operating income stays near zero, free cash flow conversion suffers, and the growth story becomes harder to sustain without continued external financing.
What about working capital? You mentioned the advanced purchasing strategy.
This is a critical watch item. Management explicitly states they've implemented advanced and larger lot purchases of certain materials and parts, and they acknowledge this has resulted in an increased use of our working capital, which is expected to continue. In defense contracting, earnings are accrual heavy. The real question is always whether free cash flow is tracking to net income or whether working capital is eating cash. The filing doesn't give us a precise FCF figure in the excerpt we have, but the directional signal from management is that working capital consumption is intentional and ongoing. That's not necessarily alarming. It's a deliberate investment in supply chain positioning, but it means cash generation is being deferred.
Let's talk about risk disclosures. The filing notes no new or significantly escalated risk factors versus the prior quarter, but there's still a lot to unpack in what's already disclosed.
Correct, and I'd push back slightly on characterizing the risk environment as static. the language around procurement policy changes is new in its specificity. Management references, executive orders, changing DW procurement policies, and the federal acquisition regulations, and they're explicit that the impact is unknown. That's a qualitative escalation, even if it's not a new risk category. The other risk I'd highlight is the tariff environment. Management lists the uncertain tariff situation as one of several factors that continue to potentially create significant short and long-term risks to the industry and the company. For a company that's expanding manufacturing internationally, including two new facilities in Israel, tariff uncertainty on imported components is a real operational variable, and the Iran conflict is mentioned directly. Management cites the conflicts in Iran, Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan funding support as part of the geopolitical backdrop. That's notable given Kratos has manufacturing operations in Israel and a joint venture, the Prometheus venture with Rafael Advanced Defense Systems, that is explicitly expected to ramp in 2026 and 2027.
Let's move to the balance sheet and liquidity picture, because this is where the story gets genuinely interesting.
It does. Cash and equivalents stand at $1.44 billion. That is a substantial liquidity position. For context, Kratos' quarterly revenue run rate is roughly $400 to $750 million, depending on the quarter, so the cash position represents roughly 2 to 3 quarters of revenue. That's a fortress balance sheet by most measures.
And the debt picture?
This is one of the clearest positive developments in the filing. Management notes in the MD&A that interest expense was eliminated due to the repayment of Term Loan A on July the 2nd, 2025. So Kratos entered fiscal 2026 effectively debt-free on the term loan side, and the cash position reflects proceeds from a prior public offering. The MD&A notes that other income improved significantly due to elimination of long-term debt interest expense and increased interest income from public offering proceeds. So the company is now generating interest income rather than paying interest expense, a meaningful swing in the other income line. From a capital allocation lens, this gives management significant flexibility to fund the capacity build-out internally without returning to debt markets in the near term.
That's a meaningful shift. Let's get into the segment analysis, because Kratos has distinct business lines and the performance is not uniform.
The two primary segments are the unmanned systems segment, which the filing refers to as US, and what we can broadly call the government solutions segment, which encompasses the hypersonic, microwave, space, and training businesses. On the unmanned system side, the filing specifically calls out Valkyrie unmanned aircraft production as a driver of incremental growth. Segment margins for US improved to 16.7% in Q2 and 16.9% for the first half, up from 15.8% in both prior year periods. Management attributes this to more favorable revenue mix. That's a meaningful margin improvement, roughly 100 basis points. And it suggests the Valkyrie production ramp is coming with better economics than earlier stage development work.
And on the broader defense solutions side?
The hypersonic systems business within defense rocket support is called out as a primary revenue growth driver. Management is making what they describe as significant investments here, including procurement of supply chain components for 3,000 jet engines expected to be produced in the next 15 months, a new hypersonic system fabrication and integration facility in Indiana for the Zeus solid rocket motors and Arrhenius hypersonic flight systems, and purchase of long lead items for 60 Oriole and 60 Zeus solid rocket motors for ballistic missile defense. The acquisitions of Nomad Global Communication Solutions, contributing $18.8 million in Q2 revenue, and Orbit Technologies, contributing $21.4 million in Q2 revenue, added meaningful top-line contribution. Together, those two acquisitions represent roughly $40 million of Q2 revenue, or approximately 9% of total Q2 revenue, not transformative on their own, but they're expanding the addressable market in space and satellite communications.
And management's expectation for when all of this backlog converts to revenue?
They're explicit about this. Management states they expect to recognize approximately 35% of the $2.084 billion backlog as revenue in fiscal 2026, and an additional 35% in fiscal 2027. That implies roughly $730 million of backlog conversion in the back half of 2026 alone, which would represent a significant revenue acceleration from the $458 million Q2 run rate. That's the bull case embedded in this filing.
Let's close with what traders and investors should be monitoring and your counter thesis.
The metrics management has put front and center are backlog growth, the pace of the capacity build-out, and the policy environment around the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and the proposed fiscal 2027 defense budget of $1.5 trillion. Management is clear that the OBBBA's $156 billion in additional defense spending will remain available to be obligated until September 30th, 2029, and expended through FY 2035. So this is a multi-year tailwind, not a one-quarter event. Key dates to watch include the congressional appropriations process for fiscal 2027 and any movement on the $88 billion supplemental funding request for fiscal 2026, of which $67 billion is tied to the Iran conflict.
And the counter thesis? What would prove the core thesis wrong?
Two specific data points. First, if SG&A as a percentage of revenue does not decline from the current 19% level over the next two quarters as acquisition amortization is absorbed, the operating margin recovery thesis breaks. A company posting negative operating margins on $458 million in revenue with a record backlog should be converting that backlog into operating leverage. If it doesn't, the growth story is being consumed by cost structure. Second, if the 35% backlog conversion target for fiscal 2026 is not achieved, meaning if revenue in the second half of 2026 does not accelerate materially from Q2's $458 million run rate, then the record backlog is either unfunded, delayed, or facing program risk. Either of those outcomes would directly contradict the mid-cycle expansion thesis.
And revisiting that thesis, does the full weight of evidence confirm it, weaken it, or modify it?
It modifies it. The demand environment and backlog growth confirm the mid-cycle expansion framing. The policy tailwinds from the OBBBA and the proposed fiscal 2027 budget are real and explicitly documented. But the operating loss, the SG&A creep, the working capital consumption, and the procurement policy uncertainty introduce execution risk that a pure mid-cycle expansion story wouldn't carry. The more precise framing is this. Kratos is in mid-cycle expansion on the demand side and early-stage execution stress on the cost side simultaneously. The equity is priced for the demand story to win. From a margin durability perspective, the company needs to demonstrate operating leverage in the second half of 2026 to validate that pricing. At current operating margins near zero on nearly half a billion in quarterly revenue, this equity is trading on the promise of backlog conversion, not on demonstrated earnings power.
That's a sharp and grounded place to land. Mike, thank you for walking us through every layer of this filing.
Always. The numbers are only as useful as the context you put around them.
That's a wrap on our Kratos Defense and Security Q2 2026 earnings analysis. A reminder that everything discussed today is drawn directly from the company's 10Q filing dated August 4th, 2026, and nothing in this episode constitutes investment advice. We are analysts, not advisors. Do your own due diligence. I'm Sarah, he's Mike, and we'll see you next week on Aviation Intelligence Weekly.